to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Everyone, welcome to church on this lovely late September morning. It is good to be together. A few announcements before we get started. Our liturgist today will actually be Scott, so thank you for filling in, Scott. Our radio sponsor is Fred Kemp, in honor of his wife Diane. Adult education discussions will start on October 6th after the church service. We will start talking about voting faithfully, because we love to talk about politics at church. For real, I'm gonna. On October 27th, we will talk about being peacemakers. On Friday, this coming Friday, the 4th of October, we will have a pet blessing in the park across the street. It'll be at 6:30 p.m. All pets are welcome if they would enjoy this and not be stressed out by it. My dog will never come. No, I love him so much, but no. So if you don't bring your pet, you can bring a picture or a toy. We can still bless them. It works. And if you have a pet who's gone over the rainbow bridge that you would like to send a blessing to, you're welcome to do that. It'll be less than 30 minutes. If the weather's bad, we'll come over here instead and be inside, and there will be cookies available for dogs and for humans, and we will mark which are which. Because we love you. And then on the 13th after church, there will be an open and affirming committee workshop on how to write letters to legislators. So it will be how to identify an issue that you are passionate about, how to write the letter. You don't have to actually write it there, and you can write on anything you want. So this could be environment, a bill in our state legislature, feeding hungry people, education, whatever you are passionate about. And the Sauk Prairie Against Hunger PAC event. Grand Avenue Elementary School, we will have a full table, so lots to pack. Thursday, October 24th at 6:30 p.m., and there's a sign up. All right. And our first UCC welcome statement. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself, said Jesus. First United Church of Christ is an open and affirming congregation. We strive to foster loving and caring relationships in our church and community. As we welcome and value all people, whoever you are, however you identify, whomever you love, whatever your story, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome just as you are here at First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. Now let's take a few moments of silence to come into this time in this space. Take a deep breath and let it out. Let all the busyness and the worries that you carry through the week, let them flow away. Breathe in. God is love. breathe out peace. Breathe in, I am beloved. Breathe out peace.
Good morning. So our call to worship today is all join in call to worship. Everyone, please join in right from the get-go, and the words are in the bulletin or on the screen. Creating God, you weave the planet and all its creatures together in kinship. Your unifying love is revealed in the interdependence of relationships in this complex and connected world. Free us from the illusion that humankind is separate and alone, and join us in communion with all inhabitants of the universe. And then if you'll rise and please join in singing our first hymn, hymn number 32 in the New Century Hymnal, God of the Sparrow, God of the Whale.
Oh,
Please join me in our prayer of confession, of unburdening. Creating God, we have not always been faithful caretakers of other creatures. Forgive us when we have dirtied their environment, erased places of shelter, polluted the waters, killed off their food supplies, or neglected to feed or tend animals in our own communities. Forgive us when we have not considered the wider picture, when we have neglected animals in the wild, the cruelty inflicted in the name of food protection. Forgive us when we have focused only on our favorites and neglected the care of the supposedly less beautiful, those who hold a lower public pride profile on endangered species list. Forgive us for allowing beauty to be forever destroyed. Forgive us when we neglect to see all animals as your beloveds too. Forgive us when we neglect to acknowledge that your heart beats in all of us, and that you give breath to all creation. Dear ones, everything is connected, and God's love is big enough to include all. The spark of the sacred that runs through all life will never, ever leave us. For which we say,
thanks be to God.
Without exception, everyone is welcome at this table. So if you are hungry, if you are even just curious, please come and taste. In his life, Jesus said he wished to be like a mother hen, gathering his chicks under his wings. On his last night, his very last night, he sat with his dearest friends, gathered around a table. And he said to them, I am going to leave you, and you will carry on this work of welcoming others to table. This work of talking about love, this work of telling the poor, the oppressed, the unwanted that they are precious. My friends, you carry on this work even now. So he took bread and he broke the bread. And he said, eat. Eat and remember that you are the hands of Christ, the arms of Christ, the shoulders, the legs, the feet, the smile. Remember that you are loved and you are to love. And he took a cup of wine and he poured the wine. And he said, eat this bread, drink this wine, the fruits of creation. Remember that you are fed at the table with food. You are fed with care. You are fed with love. You are fed with concern. Feed others. Holy Spirit, we ask you to pour out your gifts on these elements, on this bread, this cup. Help them to feed us, to enable us to feed others. We know that we are what we eat. Today, we eat of love. Amen. And everyone is welcome. I'm going to switch things up just a little bit. Surprise. We're going to put, can we do the theme choir now before the kids go? So I think the kids will enjoy this choir anthem. There are motions and movements. There could be. Do our kiddos want to come forward for kid time? Hi, everybody. I think last week, and also again this week, you're going to talk a little bit about Noah's Ark. That's a story where God decides to save some people and also a whole lot of animals and something when a big flood happens. God wants all the creatures to survive too and not go extinct, which is a thing that happens sometimes. And today, when you go to Sunday school, we're going to talk about somebody named St. Francis, who lived a long, long time ago, and he preached to birds, like a whole sermon. And the birds gathered around him and they listened. Sometimes people fall asleep when I'm up here. No. No, they don't. Right? Yep. He preached a sermon to birds, and he made friends with wolves and all kinds of animals. Tells us that God cares about animals, too. Do you have pets? What do you have?
Five dogs.
Five dogs? Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, you got a lot of dogs. You have
two cats and a dog.
I just have one dog. Do you have a pet?
Two guinea pigs.
Guinea pigs. How about you?
I have a dog.
Yeah. Okay. Pets?
One dog.
Yeah.
One dog.
Dogs are good. I have one dog too. So today we're going to ask God to bless all of you and also all the pets, okay? Holy God, God of creation, bless all these children in our Sunday school and church today, in our lives and our hearts. Help them to grow in wisdom, in faith, in love of you, love of neighbor. Help them to know that all of creation is also our neighbor. And we ask special blessing on all the pets that we have at home. The dogs and the kittens and the sheep and the guinea pigs and everyone. They make our lives better. Help us to see that you live in them too. This is every other person. In your many names we pray. Amen. And now you're going to go to Sunday school behind Miss Margaret, so you're going to use your walking feet.
Our first lesson today is from the first chapter of Genesis. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the sea monsters and every living creature that moves, of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. I would like to share the Now Testament with you, the testament that is for us today, right here, right now. If you have people who will exclude any of God's creatures from the shelter of compassion and pity, you will have people who deal likewise with their fellow humans. All creatures have the same source as we have. Like us, they derive the life of thought, love, and will from the Creator. Not to hurt our humble brethren is our first duty to them, but to stop is a complete misapprehension of the intentions of Providence. We have the highest mission. God wants us to help animals if they need help. Every creature in distress has the same right to be protected.
Gospel reading today is from Mark chapter 9, 38 through 50. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell to you, whoever gives a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and go to hell. If your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and go to hell. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourself and be at peace with one another." Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. This follows immediately after what we heard last week. Remember, the disciples were arguing about who among them is the greatest. And Jesus said, be like a child. Greatness is in willingness to be small. It's not in striving to be great. Greatness is in service. And he continues here. John asks, the only time we hear a lot from John in the Gospel of Mark, says, "Hey, we saw somebody healing in your name, and we stopped him because he's not one of us." And Jesus said, "Did you miss everything I just said?" And the answer in Mark especially is usually yes. Yes, we did. What matters, Jesus says, is the service, the healing, the love. If somebody's doing good, let them do good. You're arguing who is in and who is out, and I am telling you, everyone is in. So he goes on. Jesus was sometimes prone to hyperbole. There were actually, at the time, a lot more people who had been through terrible accidents and war than now. So they would have seen a number of people who were missing a hand or a foot or an eye or both, but not any of them because they had done it to themselves. Jesus didn't want that. But he said, most of the threats, they don't come from outside. They come from inside us. It's my hand, my foot, my eyes that get me into trouble. It's not some other guy. It's not some other group of religious people. It's my own stuff. So as far as others are concerned, our focus is to be on welcoming and serving, not judging them or forcing them to follow us or deciding who's in and who's out. Gehenna is the word that is translated as hell, and it hardly ever shows up. This is one of very few times that Jesus says anything about it. Gehenna was the city dump just outside Jerusalem, and it was gross, as city dumps can be. There was trash, there were fires that didn't go out, the smell was horrific, and Jesus' message is pretty clear here. The infighting, the elitism, this arrogance, the self-aggrandization, we should guard against them. We should guard against them and root them out as we can. So imagine this kind of expansive, inclusive, cooperative approach in life today, in public life, in religious life, all kinds of lives. There are Christians of various sorts saying, they're not us. And Jesus says, I don't care. I don't care. Love them all. God's going to sort it out. That's not your job. It's way above your pay grade. Your job is to love. So just do that. In the story, there are a couple of groups seeking to follow Jesus. We might say there are conflict between Christians. That still happens sometimes. And his language applies widely, this kind of inclusive collaboration among members of Christianity, people who have no religion at all, people of other religions. And he said, those who say that they are Christian, those who bear the name of Christ, but not just them, even those who just offer a cup of water, they're doing the work of Jesus also. So this healing, this liberation, this good, it's open. It's open to those who will offer a drink of water to someone who is thirsty. It's not only the self-professed greatest believers, those who argue about being the best. Doesn't matter what you say. That's what Jesus is telling him. Doesn't matter what you say. It matters what you do. Offer a drink of water. Don't worry about who's the best. And this big, broad, inclusive love can include animals. Now, we in the UCC aren't really much for saints. And also, we in the UCC, many of us, probably most of us, came from different traditions. So if you have saints and you care about saints, that's okay. You get to. And I have always liked St. Francis. He's one of my favorites. We love our animals. We love our animals. We let them sleep on our beds. We spend inordinate amounts of money on them. We pick up their poop and their throw up, sometimes daily. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And why do we do this? Because they love us with this pure and beautiful, sweet love, this unconditional love. They don't love us because we do things for them, although they really like to get treats. They love us because, and that love doesn't change day by day according to their moods. It is consistent and it is huge and it is beautiful. And that sounds a lot like the love of God, right? Human love can be a little more complicated. Who here has lived with both humans and dogs? Let me hear an amen if the dogs were sometimes easier than the humans. Amen. I see my husband nodding up there. For me too. God sent us animals to love. Tells us that in Genesis. So we could know and feel the love in different ways. Love of God like that. So what if in the midst of a lot of turmoil and hatred and vitriol that's going on in the world, all around the world today, we were to talk about love instead? Even a tiny fraction of that love of God. Pure and constant and unconditional. What if we could take a cue from our animals? There's a story about dogs and humans and love, St. Francis. I don't know if it happened this way or not, but I knew that there is truth in this story. Lots of churches do pet blessings around this time because St. Francis's feast day is Friday. So St. Francis, at the time, they just called him Francis. He was a man of God, a servant of God. He worked hard for God and really only God his entire life. When he was a young man, and a very rich young man, he went into the center of town, he took off all his clothes, and he walked away from his clothes, from his wealth, from his things, and he said, "All I need is God." Sometimes saints look a little bit like people who are strange. And maybe sometimes we need a little bit more difference in our heads. So one thing particular to him was how much he loved not just God, but also animals. Birds would come to hear his sermons. That's why we see so many St. Francis bird baths. He named the mice in his monastic cell. Traveling anywhere with him was probably quite a hassle because he would stop after rainstorms to put every worm back into the dirt. That would probably take a while. So he was traveling with a few friends and they come across a town where there's trouble. A wolf was threatening and harassing and killing the people of Gubbio. A big, fierce wolf who killed people. So the townspeople stayed inside the walls of the town. Sometimes they had to go out. Farmer take their vegetables for market day, or a healer come to tend a child. They couldn't just stay in the walls, but they were terrorized. Anyone who set out to kill the wolf did not come back. So these townspeople sent a group of people to St. Francis to ask if he could help them. It was a slow trip back because he had to chat with a lot of birds along the way. But once he got to the city, they told him about the wolf. And he got up to go talk to this wolf. And everyone said, "But he's going to eat you." And Francis said, "Not to worry. God is the God of all creatures." So he went out and he called to the wolf. The townspeople all climbed up on their roofs, peeking over the city walls to see if they could tell what was happening. The wolf came running, bounding up, mouth open, teeth showing, and Francis said, "I tell you to stop." And the wolf stopped. And Francis looked him right in the eye, and he lay down at Francis's feet. And Francis said sternly, "You have been terrorizing and eating these poor people. These people made in the image of God. And I know you did this because you were hungry, but you stop now. Are you ready to make peace with these people?" And the wolf nodded. So he walked into town with the wolf beside him. And he got in, opened the doors. The wolf lying at his feet. The wolf is in town now. And he says to the townspeople, "If you want peace with this wolf, you have to be kind to him." They might have been ready to take out the wolf. He says, "No, you have to be kind to him. You feed him every day. Do this." And the people said, "We will. And so it was. Every day, the wolf would walk around town, going house to house to be fed, for years, until the wolf finally died and the people of the town wept because they would miss their wolf. Now, this sounds too amazing to be true, right? This is peacemaking. Recognizing God in each other. The wolf stopped the violence. The town fed and cared for him and was kind. That's how peacemaking works. Kindness on both sides, feeding, love, food, consistency, care. Some people still believe that humans are different races. Somehow we look different on the outside. Not as different as dogs. We're relatively similar sizes and shapes. We have hair in different colors and skin in different colors. You have different personalities. But I think we can learn this love of God from other creatures, from other humans too. When we're gentle with each other, when we feed each other. Vint Verga is a vet and author of Soul of All Living Creatures, What Animals Can Teach Us About Being Human. And he described 10 things based on his experience. Savor the moment. Animals live in the present, which I can be terrible at. But savor the moment. Be now. Heed your instincts, number two. Animals use all their senses. What signals might your senses be trying to show you that you are not aware of? Keep focused on what is most important. Animals remind us of connecting with each other. They value connection and sharing hearts and sharing love. Keep focused on what's most important. Don't get bogged down, especially with words. Humans rely on words. But our animal friends, they have different ways of communicating. And sometimes they're better. Take time to rest. We're so often in a rush. You watch a dog nap, they're having a nap. Remember to play. Play is important. We all need some play in our lives. A little bit of play every day. Don't take yourselves too seriously. Our dogs and our cats don't. Fergus will chase his own tail sometimes. Let go of attachment to being right or being wrong. That doesn't matter. Practice forgiveness. Animals are forgiving in a way that we can only imagine and envy. Fergus's dinner is late. He's fine. He's glad when it comes. I accidentally step on his tail or his foot. This is a thing that happens. He forgives me. He doesn't dwell on it. And love unconditionally. Greet someone like you've been greeted at the door by a dog who is delighted to see you and so glad you are here. We can learn a lot from animals. Amen. And our hymn is number 557, Pray for the Wilderness. time to share prayers with God, who knows and loves us in all things in our community. Any prayers to share today? Hey, you have a prayer back here.
Excuse me. I personally thank God for a successful surgery for my husband and the fact that he is getting better every day, and also for all the people in this community for the wonderful cards, prayers, and food, which was very good, that people brought in for us. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Prayers for all the people affected by this horrible hurricane. We have a younger brother in Florida whose home was devastated, and on up into North Carolina, where my sister is, and her son could not get to a family wedding because the roads were impassable. So there's so many people affected that they need our prayers.
Harlan Hartman, our longtime member, remains at Wanakee's nursing home. He's making slow progress, and hopefully next week they'll have an answer as to what the next step will be for Harlan. But I know that he was happy to celebrate his birthday yesterday when he turned 96, with 3 days in a row of family visits and celebrations. So please keep Harlan and Lorraine in your prayers.
Continued prayers for Carol Crow, who is now rehabbing at Maplewood Village after her surgery.
There are no more prayers to share aloud. Let's take a moment of silence for the prayers in our hearts. We have a bit of good news today. The Northern Chumash tribe on the Central California coast has been working for decades to establish a marine sanctuary, and it is close to reality this year. The Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary will be home to otters and seals and whales and so much more. The first marine sanctuary proposed by Native American tribe. 156 miles of coastland, 7,000 square miles of ocean. The community will protect the waters from offshore oil, from natural gas extraction, from all kinds of things. It will be good for the economy, for the people. The Chumash have occupied this area for over 13,000 years. This is sacred land for them. Thanks be to God. Holy One, we pray today for all areas affected by this hurricane, especially those in our immediate families, our friends. And we pray for the will to address climate change. We pray for Harland in the nursing home, celebrating his birthday. Pray for all his family, especially Lorraine. We pray for Carol, entering rehab after surgery. And Holy God, we give thanks that Larry and Kathy are back with us today.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.